For the past few weeks, we have been in a series of messages on See You at the Top. And we have discovered that those kings who put God first remained at the top. But those kings that did not put God first, God judged them and brought them down to the bottom. How do you know when God is judging you? I'll be back in a moment. We'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert continues his series of messages on See You at the Top. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church, Irving, takes a look in the book.
Book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. This morning, I want to look at that entire chapter, but I just want to read to you the first three verses to get us started. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 1 through 3. You'll find these words. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Notice what it says. It says in verse 3, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month of that first year, opened the door of the house of the Lord and repaired them. I want a key on the word, the key word there is first. You see that twice, in the first year, then in the first month. So my sermon is entitled, Putting God First.
Amen.
Putting God First. Amen. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, go and talk about putting God first. Putting God first. God bless you. You may be seated. For the past few weeks, we've been teaching on a series of messages, See You at the Top. We've been studying the lives of the kings of Judah. And what we have noticed is that the kings that make a decision to walk with God always end up at the top. But those who make a decision to not walk with God and not obey the word of God, they move from the top and they fall to the bottom. But God did not create you to live at the bottom of the bag.
Amen.
God has made you to live at the top. Bible says that you are to be the head and not the tail.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are to be above the problems, not beneath the problem. You ought to be in the front and not the back.
Amen.
God made you for heaven. He didn't make you to be at the bottom down in hell.
Yeah. All right.
God has created you to be at the top. God didn't make you to be a loser. But God has made you to be a winner.
Amen.
The Bible says you are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And what we're going to see in our lesson today, the way to make it to the top and stay on the top is by putting God first. That's what our lesson is going to be about. If you want to make it to the top, and then once you get there, if you want to stay there at the top, then you're going to have to continue to put God first. Amen. Y'all going to pray with me this
Amen.
Morning?
Amen.
You're going to walk with me? I'm going to have to walk by myself.
Amen.
This morning, I want to give you a three-point outline. I just want to outline the chapter. And then I want to come back at the end of the chapter and give you three application points. Would that be all right? But first, I want us to just look at an outline of the chapter. Well, first of all, I want you to see Hezekiah's invitation. Then I want you to see the religious leaders' preparation. Then I want you to see the people's dedication. Would that be all right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to see first Hezekiah's invitation. Hezekiah calls the religious leaders to repair and reopen the temple. Look, the Bible says in his first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Why did he open the doors? Because they had shut the temple down. They had shut down the church. Look, the Bible says in verse 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the east street. He called the priests, that's the preachers. He called the Levites, that's the deacon. And he gathered them together in the east street and said to them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your father, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. See, when God is not in his right place, and then something else is going to take his place.
You're right, preacher. You're right.
And when cleanliness is not there, then filthiness will be there. The Bible says, for our fathers have trespassed. They done stepped across the line and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their face from the habitation of the Lord and turned their back on God. Did you see that? These folks, now these church folks, we're not talking about worldly folks. We're talking about church folks. Church folks done neglected the house of the Lord. They got into sin. They trespassed. In other words, they crossed the line. They done something God told them not to do. They forsaken the Lord. And they turned their back on the Lord. Now, just think about it. It won't be long before the church house is shut down if God's people act this way.
Right? You're right about it, preacher.
If God's people don't come to church, and if God's people done gave up on God, and if God's people turn their back on God, it won't be long before the church house is empty. That's what happened here. And they closed the doors to the church. They said, ain't nobody going there. So they shut the doors. Ain't nobody going in there anyway. So they just shut the doors to the church. Notice what the Bible says, verse 7. Also, they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamp and have not burnt incense, not offer burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Now, how did God feel about that? Verse number 8, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them, notice three things, trouble to astonishment, some Bible says to desolation, where you come up empty, and to hissing, where folks make fun of. Did you notice that? Did you notice the three ways God judged the people? He judged them, first of all, by sending trouble into their lives. All kind of bad things start happening to them. And then the Bible said the second thing, it was astonishment. When those bad things happened, people couldn't help but say, It was, they were shocked. They was astonished because you see God's people who one time was doing good, but now they doing bad. When you see people who was doing good at one time doing bad, sometimes you can't help but say, my, oh my. Oh, I mean, one time they was doing good. One time they was in our church. But now, look at them now. My, oh my. In other words, one time they was at the top. But now, look at them now. They down there at the bottom. And the Bible says not everybody feeling sorry for them. Some folks start laughing at them. There was a hissing sound. Folks started jeering under their breath. You know, not everybody is happy when you're walking with the Lord. I don't know if that new information, but I just stopped by to tell you today, not everybody is happy when you're doing good. Father, look, sometimes the very people you think are for you are really against you. And the very people sometimes that find out you having some problems in your life, in your face a lot of times, then they say, I'm going to pray for you. But they get right in their car and go home and start talking about you. But when judgment is really bad, it's when folks start teasing you and laughing at you, not behind your back, but to your face. When your children start laughing at you and cursing you right to your face, that's the judgment of God. When folks that you know start teasing you and making fun of you and cursing you, calling you everything but a child of God, that could be the judgment of God. The Bible says that there was trouble, astonishment, and hissing. I don't believe you're feeling. Are you feeling me this morning? There was, how many of y'all watch Family Feud? Family Feud, when you get the wrong answer, oh, how do it go? That's what happens when you walk out there and do the wrong thing. You get a trouble comes in your life. And then, but see, trouble don't stay by itself. Trouble always brings something. It brings astonishment. So you get another. But astonishment don't stay by itself. It brings some jeering. We call it meddling. And so you got a thot, and when you get a thot, that's three strikes, and three strikes mean you out. And these people was basically out. And so Hezekiah, when he came to the throne, he saw these three strikes. He saw these thot. He said, we need to do something about this. Thot. And so when you got a spiritual problem, you don't go to the world and try to get a physical solution to handle a spiritual problem. You go and call those who are representing God, those religious leaders. You go get them because they got the answer to your spiritual problem. And so that's why Hezekiah went and got the preachers. And that brings me to my next part of the outline. The religious leaders had to do some preparation, though, because they was part of the problem. Oh, my goodness. See, let me tell you something. If we bring idols in this church and start worshiping anything other than the right thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we got to blame ourselves. We can't blame that on the world. See, if something bad is going on in the church, then leadership either caused it or permits it.
Now,
so these religious leaders, notice what the Bible says they had to do, verse number 12. Then the Levites arose. Now, you can see all these Levites. You can read these names when you get home, okay? Now, let's look down here. There was a whole bunch of them. But look down at verse 15. It says, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. They had to get cleaned up. And came unto, according to the commandment of the king, by the word of the Lord, to clean the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to clean it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they had found in the temple of the Lord into the courts of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Listen to verse 17. Now they began, when did they begin? On the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. It didn't stop there. It got a semicolon. Just take a break, but keep on moving. And in the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Now think about it. They had to first of all go get themselves cleaned up. Because see, they was part of the problem. And see, you can't be part of the solution until you get the problem fixed in your life.
Amen.
And so they went and got themselves cleaned up. And then they started on the inside. The preacher started on the inside. And they worked their way all the way to the porch. Now, how many days did it take them? Starting on the inside, moving to the outside. The Bible said it took them 8 days. Over a whole week. And then the Bible said once they got to the outside, their work wasn't even done out there. The Bible said it took them another 8 more days. It took them 16 days in all. 8 days on the inside, 8 days on the outside. In order to get the temple clean where they could reopen the temple of Almighty God.
Yes.
How many of you know that when you start wanting to clean up your life, you just can't clean up the outside?
All right, preach up.
You got to spend some time. What? Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to spend some time working on the inside.
Yes,
so many Christians are churchgoers. They spend a lot of time on the outside, and all you're doing is fooling yourself. You gotta do some work on the inside. As a matter of fact, if you really want to get a clean life, you ought to start on the inside and then move to the outside. That's what they did. They started inside and worked to the outside. And then notice the Bible says, then the people made some dedication. Notice in verse number 20, we see the dedication of the people. It says, Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house of the Lord. They brought, look what they brought, 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. Did you notice that? He said we got 28 different animals here. 28 animals for the kingdom. That's the whole kingdom. That's the government. For the sanctuary. That's over here at the temple. And for Judah, the country. Did you see that? And so, and then the Bible says they gave them to the priests, and the priests, they offer them up, they kill them. And so they made sacrificial offerings. See, if you're going to deal with the thong, and the thong, in your life, you gotta make some sacrifices.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you can't just stop by making monetary sacrifices. You gotta even give some sacrifices of praise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look down here in verse 29. And he says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, platters, with harps, according to the commandments of David. And I've got the king's seer and Nathan the prophet, For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, what else happened? The song of the Lord began. Also with trumpets and with instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation, what did they do? Worship, and singers sang. Thank you, Jesus. We got some singers that can sing.
Amen.
And the trumpet sounded. And all this continued. How long did it continue? Until the burnt offering was finished. It didn't stop there. That was just Hezekiah offerings, and that was the 28 animals that he bought. But look on a little bit further. The Bible says in verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thanks offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thanks offering, and as many as were of a free, what?
Heart.
A free heart. Burnt offerings. Notice what the Bible says. And how many was it? And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks. That means 70. And 100 rams. And 200 lambs. All these were for burnt offerings to the Lord. I'm trying to paint a picture. I want you to see all these sacrifices that they're doing here. And the Bible says, and the consecrated thing, we're not finished yet, the consecrated things was 600 oxen, 3,000 more sheep. In other words, after they had put these 70, they already had 28. Then they had 70 more bullocks. Then they had, 200 more lambs and 100 more rams. When they finished with that, they still had some stuff standing in line.
All right. Yeah, all right.
Waiting to be put there on the altar. And look at the situation here. The Bible says, but the priests, verse 34, were too few so that they could not flay, in other words, skin, all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. Isn't that something? They had so many offerings, but they didn't have enough preachers to receive the offering. Man, I wouldn't mind having that problem.
Come on now.
Boy, I wouldn't mind having that problem, that we got so many folks that wanting to give stuff to God, we ain't got enough folks to take up the collection. Man, look at here. The Bible says, verse 35, and also the burnt offering were in abundance. They just stopped counting. It was in abundance. And the fat and the peace offering and the drink offering for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. That's good news. They opened, they got the church back open. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
See, they got the church back open. Now, see, that's very important that the church get back open, because God is going to work through the church in order to save humanity. If you ain't got no church, then you ain't got no preacher. If you ain't got no preacher, then you ain't got nobody that's going to bring the word. And if you ain't got nobody that's going to bring the word, then you ain't got no savior. And if you ain't got no savior, you're going to be forever lost. And so they open up the house of the God. When you got the house of the Lord back open, then you got folks that can worship God.
You are the living word.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.